But when Mother died, no, no until that yet, it was when Eris was put in Bishop. Now they tell the relatives, you know, of the man's chosen. But at that time, they just told Daddy, come in and shut the door.
They tell Mother and Father.
He didn't tell Mother.
I know. I said they're supposed, they could tell their Mother and Father.
Well, anyway, he come up, Eris did, and had a conversation with Dad. Then he went home, and Mother suspected, but Dad never said anything. They never said a word to her, so she sitting next to Dad at church the next day, and I sat across the aisle on the 13th floor, raised up here, and then the main audience here.
Oh.
And they were sitting on the front seats of this raised part on one side, right close to where the choir seats and the other would be.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas C. McKay had charge of it. And Dad was the only one that got any praise for having such a good son.
Huh.
And he praised him to the highs. And Mother said Dad sat there and cried, and you just know how my mother felt. She was the one that really raised those kids past teenagers and all that stuff. She was alone with them most of the time. And that's when the kids get their learning.
Yeah.
And how to do things. And they never said one word about Mother. Hmm. Not one word. And I just liked Thomas E. McKay after that day. The next day when I went to work, I was working for the fourth ward, the guy who worked as ward clerk in the fourth ward, but that wasn't what I was doing, it was collection reporting. And he said to me, so sooner I got in there, he says, that wasn't right yesterday. They never thanked your mother for a thing. And I know, see, because he was an old man's dad, he said, and his dad had been bishop of the fourth ward at one time, when Dad was a counselor. So he says, I know, you know, what your mother did. She raised them almost single-handed. Only time she got more control over them was because they saw him in church and they could. Anyway, that's the way I felt about it, that they should do, because it isn't just one parent.
Right, it's both.
If they were alone, it would be different.
Well,
but anyway, with Eris, they, you know, asked you to raise your hand if you disapprove.
Mm-hmm.
One old lady, you remember her name, that Dutch lady?
Bessler, old lady Bessler.
Yeah, well, anyway, she raised her hand and she stood up and he says, what's the matter, sister? Well, I'm a poor widow, I can't afford it, so we shouldn't have another ward, another bishop. And he said, that's just fine, sister, because he didn't know who she was. We'll take care of it afterwards, you're okay. So she sat down and they went on with their meetings, and when A got home, she was sitting on his front step.
For A.
What happened? What did she say to him? Do you know?
Mm-hmm. She, well, she wanted help. She was a poor widow. She couldn't afford to hand to the ward. They're supposed to help her.
Mm-hmm.
See, they really didn't have a good welfare system then, so yeah, like we do now.
Yeah. You know, when we lived in 904, we had trees planted, but they weren't very big. And she's walking down the street, and Mother's on the front porch. Lady, why don't you plant trees for them who walk to town all the time? But they haven't had time to grow.
See, in 918, we had full-grown trees, and that was just practically next door.
Hmm. So, Anna C. Bluth had the health problems about 1917 or 1918. And then she died in 1932. 31. And the last 2 years, she wasn't doing too well.
She came down sick in September of 1929. Della had gone on her mission around June, wasn't it, when she left?
Oh,
anyway, whatever day
May,
it was. But when Mother took sick, we had gone to the orchard and out here that Dad had just down the street here. And Mother had 5 bushel of peaches, 2 bushel of pears. I had 1 bushel of peaches and 1 of pears, and all were due. Mother was down, and I had only just put a little fruit before we'd help wash the bottles and peel them, but you know, to take charge. So I had all that to do, and then Gladys was there before school started. Then after school started, she worked after she got home from school.
Get the meals and hear from Mother. And
sometimes I'd get some meal, that is the supper, when Glenn came home, and I didn't know whether Dad would want it to, but I thought, well, if I stayed there and worked. And then the very last night, when we come down to the very last bottle, I had them on the stove and left it for Gladys to put on. And we had these ball caps. You don't know what they are, but they're awfully hard to get them to seal.
Hmm.
And when you put it on, then you turn your bottle upside down and leave it till morning so you can tell. Well, when I came the next morning, Gladys had gone on to school, and Mother says, I can hear something sizzling out there. And I went, it was these bottles. It was hard to see them. After you once used them and take a knife to pry it underneath to get them off, then you have to push them down. So I had to take them all out and just reheat them. But that was the end of the bottles. But well, anyway, it was an awful time.
I took care of Mother most all the time. She looked thick.
Well, at night, Gladys would come down when Mother would call.
I told Mother she could call me any time of the night. And I was going to Weber College, and I had a hard time getting the lessons then because the house was all quiet at 9 o'clock. So I'd go upstairs, and I'd always washed Bader face and that, and fixed her for the night. And my last words were, oh, my mother just come to me tonight, I'll never wake again. And I said, you can call me any time of the night you want, Mother. And she did. I came down. And she got used to my way of having her. You know, when you're sick a long time, Gordon,
not Gordon, Brent.
Brent.
That's okay.
Everybody's hurts and sore. I have people so fussed and doggone it. But she was just so all over. And the last 3 months of her life, I had to turn her over because she couldn't turn herself over herself.
She came the last of March and died in May then. Mm-hmm.
And if her hand slipped behind her, she didn't.
That is her right arm. She wrote letters up until
it was about 3 months before she died. Mother dictated a letter for me to write to Della and tell Della she could never lie there again.
Hmm.
And
well,
but anyway, he said, Vine, take turn. Belly stoves, and I hate them with a vengeance. And Dad wouldn't put a furnace in the house when he built it. I had to build fires in a stove when I was a kid. My children do the same thing I